don't try to dig what we all
so remember this.
I'm trying to cause a big sensation. I'm just talking about my generation.
As far as I see it, my husband has mechanical difficulties with his speech.
All right. You want mechanics? We need to relax your jaw muscles, strengthen your tongue. And you do have a flabby tummy, so we'll need to spend some time strengthening your diaphragm. Simple mechanics.
Fine.
The king and his speech. Stuttering. Can you treat it by putting an electric cap on your head? We'll go to Oxford to find out. And then see whether there's an age limit to learning a new language. The Science Show, I'm Robin Williams. Now, you'll be aware that people like me are becoming as rare as kakapos. Science journalists, I mean. We lost another batch from our newspapers last month. This means there's now an adventure playground for PR people and manipulators to get your attention. Here's Lyndall Byford from the Science Media Centre in Adelaide with a story you may recall from last week. And by the way, I'm on the board of the Science Media Centre.
The debate over genetically modified food has flared up again, largely thanks to a new paper published by French researchers examining the long-term toxicity of GM corn. But what's most interesting about this story is not actually the research itself, although that has been hotly debated and contested by scientists across the globe. The most interesting thing is the way in which the release of this story was controlled and managed, and the media's reaction to it. To understand why this story is unusual, you must first know a bit about the way that most scientific research is released as news. Scientists live and breathe peer review. Most would agree that to be considered worth the paper it's written on, any new research should be published in a peer-reviewed journal. Well, so far so good. This GM research was published in a peer-reviewed journal, the journal Food and Chemical Toxicology. So the researchers definitely get a tick on that front. Next, if a journal thinks that a new piece of science it's publishing is likely to be big news, it's usually released to journalists under embargo. The embargo system is a curious beast, but essentially it amounts to an agreement between two parties not to publish findings before a specific date and time. It's usually an agreement between reporters and the people releasing the research. And all the major journals, including Nature and Science, work under such a system. Embargoes work for a couple of reasons. Firstly, they provide an even playing field. No one media outlet or one journalist can claim the scoop. This means that the results aren't delivered exclusively by a single news source, but instead everybody reading every newspaper anywhere around the world gets to read about it at the same time. This can be particularly important when research has major public health implications, as you can really increase the number of people who find out about the story. You don't necessarily have to subscribe to a particular newspaper or listen to a specific radio show to hear the news. Secondly, and perhaps most interestingly in this case, embargoes allow journalists the time to produce a more accurate story. Time to ask independent experts to critically analyse the work. And time to question and investigate. The bottom line for all good journalism. And here's where we run into trouble. In what has been described by one journalist as an outrageous abuse of the embargo system, the release of this GM study operated quite differently. In this case, the researchers required all journalists who received material in advance to sign a non-disclosure agreement. This agreement prevented them from approaching third-party experts for comment. This is extremely unusual, and the outcome of this sort of agreement is that journalists who are under increasing pressure to be first with the story must take the research at face value. Without being able to contact experts in the field to help them question and investigate the findings, the journalists can only report the research findings as read. And this is a long way from open debate. Especially as the non-profit organisation that supported this study, the Committee for Research and Independent Information on Genetic Engineering, states on their own website that their aim is to make every effort towards the removal of the status of secrecy prevailing in genetic engineering experiments. What is also interesting about the research is the fact that at the same time it was released, a 5-page media summary, media release, and loads of other promotional material, including some pretty graphic photos, were made available under the same embargo by the Sustainable Food Trust. That this campaign group got access to the research in time to put such a document together says a lot about the level of media management there was around its release. As far as we could tell, there was no press release from the journal and no other plain language summary available to journalists under embargo, only the one from the Sustainable Food Trust. The organisation was asked to respond to journalists' questions about their role in this paper, and they provided the following statement. Our role in this project has been to act as communicators of research findings that we feel are significantly important to the debate about the future of our food systems. Once the embargo lifted, we sent the research to independent experts. Many of the controversial claims made in the paper met with fierce criticism. Scientists raised concerns about how the trial was conducted, and one toxicologist described the study as poorly designed, reported in very little detail, and not in accordance with standard guidelines for chronic toxicity studies. There was criticism that the small number of animals used meant that normal random variations could be given undue weight. Both the statistics and the ethics of the study were questioned. Yet as the media moves more and more towards an online first world, the delay in reporting this story by journalists who did want to go out and find these sorts of independent expert comments can be devastating. It means competitors get their story out first, gaining more clicks, more eyeballs, and ranking higher on search engines. I worry that this pressure will push more and more journalists to sign these sorts of agreements, and that the success of this release in setting a news angle for this story will encourage other researchers to follow a similar path. This sort of manipulation of the media should be discouraged by scientists, by journalists, and by anyone who works with them. It's as big a threat to quality science journalism as any budget cuts we've seen over the last few months. Finally, in what can only be described as remarkable coincidence, the study's author has a book on GM, amongst other things, coming out this week. He couldn't have asked for better publicity.
Lyndall Byford is media manager at the Australian Science Media Centre in Adelaide. And for every science journalist these days, there will be 30 or more PR people trying to sell you a story.